Hey, road trippers, welcome to another episode of the pod. And look, have you been thinking about maybe traveling for a playoff game, maybe taking a little family trip? Have you been stalling on booking the trip like I have? Well, the nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you take the first step towards making your dream a reality. NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more so you can easily compare and find what's right for you. Maybe you're looking for some quality in-person fun with your friends, or maybe just watching a team live during the NBA playoffs. NerdWallet can help you compare and find the right travel card with a sign-up bonus to use on flights to the game. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first steps by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com and MLS 161753.
If you guys made $1 billion in everything in terms of...
What? Boy, I'd have somebody massaging my back right now.
Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye. And yes, finally, the NBA playoffs are upon us. Starting later tonight, game one. How you guys feeling?
I'm ready.
About the playoffs, about life. Like, what's going on in your world? Well, here we are.
There we go. Think good still? All right, cool. Richard, you go first. Never mind. I'll go first. I feel pretty good about life. I had a stomach virus, lost some LBs, you know, was literally explosive dumps for like a full day. And then now I feel great. And you know what? Your boy, listen, by Kevin's wedding, what? Oh my God, the abs is popping. Dude, I was doing 75s on shoulder presses. I was pretty impressed with myself. This is month three I've been lifting. So like, yeah, pretty dude.
I don't even know where to go in terms of like, how would you describe an explosive dump? Or why are you guys like killing your backs to look so good at someone else's wedding? Like, you guys do, I applaud the effort, but like, you guys do know that the day isn't about you two. It's about Kevin and Kate.
Wait, who's killing their backs? Because Channing said that.
Richard, you've been working out for 8 months. You've been working out for 8 months.
Ear pressure is the
two a days.
Kind of pressure.
Two a days.
Wait.
Two a days.
Let's rewind. I want to make sure that this is accurate. I did that because I got out of shape. I wasn't in some I got a fit in my bridesmaid dress. Like, it was like after All-Star Weekend and Super Bowl in LA and just drinking and eating all through the winter, right? Doing all of that. Then we have to go to Cleveland or get to go to Cleveland. We get to party in Cleveland. Then the Super Bowl is in LA. So I was just at a space where I looked at myself and I was disgusted with myself. And I was like, it's time.
Not 1 ounce.
Zero.
Has been because
zero.
You not one out.
I swear to God.
Look
to God.
In the camera.
I swear to you. I swear to you at no point in time. Because suits can make you hide. Suits can hide the chunks, right, Channing?
Dude,
suits can hide.
They can,
yeah,
but
you can hide in suits.
Here was my motivation on Richard's point.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I already got four tuxes. Kevin is very particular about the kind of tux. I can't get a blue tux or a red tux. Or a gray tux. I got to wear a black regular tux. The only tux I own that's a black tux is the one from 2016. So about 3-4 months ago, I put that bad boy on. I said, a little tight. The motherfucker a little tight. So I said, hey, Jay, you got to get in order. I tried doing the cardio thing. I said, you know what? Let me get in the weight room three, four times. Let me walk or jog a mile every single day. Let me not be... So on the burritos.
Yeah. Don't be such a piece of shit.
Don't get me wrong. I still own the wine company, chosenfamilywines.com. But I still like burrito, but I can't eat them all the time or else I'm going to die in my workout. So your boy tried the suit on about a week ago. That thing is feeling luscious. So I'm happy.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, well, good. I'm not going to hate on your guys' excitement and your joy.
Yeah, but don't come this way.
I was almost offended, Allie. I was almost offended that you thought that I was working. I was working because I was just like, I was, you know what it is? This is the thing. even at our age, all three of us, right? Even though Allie's the youngest, all three of us, there is no excuse for us to be out of shape other than just like genetics ain't it. Janning's body still feels good. My body still feels good. All the things are still there other than just like, I'm just going to eat French toast and sausage and bacon, which I had right here in front of me. Yeah. So like, yes, except if when I do that 8 days in a row and you don't work out because you're just like, ah, whatever. And then you're just, then you look at yourself and you're like, that is not, that's not a representation of what I should look like.
You can't be in the wine.
I got in shape. I got in shape. Yeah, I got in shape. Not I, like Kevin. I love you, Kevin, but I don't care. I'm not. I'll go to a wedding.
My apologies for putting false accusations and embellishing in your workout regimen.
No, but you were right. I am doing double days because that's what we used to do.
Double days at the age of 43.
Double days are not like hell week. Double days are I go to Soul Cycle, I get myself a smoothie, and then I go to yoga. Right? Like that's not
I'll go to Barry's before my coffee, and then I did a Peloton upper body body weight workout.
Yeah, I'll lift and then go do Barry's boot camp. I'm not like doing like 2-3 hours where Barry's will get
exactly.
You.
Thank you, Channing. Barry's, he's like breaking his back. Yeah, and it's like for what?
Kevin's in the morning, wedding. And then I got a nice little 30-minute walk on the curb at night. I try to get 2 miles in 30 minutes. It's a lot harder than a
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that you. I don't think there's anything wrong with, though, admitting that you want to look good when you see your former teammates and you know there's going to be a lot of pub that goes around.
Oh,
that's
it. But it's not like we're not at Cancun. It's not like we're going to be in like – we're not like we're going to the pool. Oh. We're going to be in New York City. This ain't like – that's what I'm saying. He's not doing a Tulum wedding where you're like, oh, okay, everybody is going to be in bikinis and like
– I would have oiled myself up.
That's what I'm saying. JB and Nikki and Nikki Bickerstadt, head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers – they did their wedding in like Cabo San Cancun, one of those, Puerto Vallarta. They did it somewhere in Mexico where you knew you were going to be in shorts and you were going to be,
limited clothing.
Then you got to be in shape for that. New York City, I don't know. Not after eating all the carbone.
The same mentality. I need to look the same whether I have minimal or extra clothes on.
There we go.
Anyways, moving on.
moving on.
Before we get into the NBA, shout out to both of your workouts. The NBA finals. Your friend, our friend, I'm actually going to claim him on this one. Oh. Our friend just came out. It came out this morning that he's the first active NBA player who is a billionaire.
Well,
if you guys made $1 billion in everything in terms of...
What? Boy, I'd have somebody massaging my back right now as they feed me golden flakes of cereal, like with golden tweezers. Just, here you go, Mr. Fry, a grape at a time. One grape.
People, he's not lying.
Grapes they can only get at
he's
the
not lying, people.
Market. Oh, I'm not lying at all.
He's
I'm not
lying.
Lying at all.
I still
live here. You know what? I'd be like,
I'd still do the podcast.
No, for sure, I'm doing a podcast. What? I'm doing the podcast.
I'm just gonna let y'all know, if I was a billionaire, you would never hear from me again.
Yeah,
you wouldn't even know I left.
That's not true.
That's not even true.
How
big a house can you get in Van Wert, Ohio, Allie?
No.
You could buy Van Wert for $10,000.
Allie, you might stop working at Spectrum, but you ain't gonna stop working here. You ain't gonna stop that.
Shit.
No, Allie, no way.
First of all, no.
I'll be selling my feet pics. I'll be just giving my feet pics out.
No, you wouldn't
have to sell.
No, you don't get a billion by being just giving stuff away. Bron is the cheapest billionaire of all time. He still won't pay for internet in Toronto.
Do you think he'll still hang out with us now, Channing?
I think he has to, technically, because we've told all these buddy-buddy stories. So technically, if something happened.
And they were like, God, he's not even cool with Richard and Channing. Oh, yeah, we're blackmailing
him. He must have changed. He must have changed. Look at all that money. Change him.
Yeah.
Did you guys send him a congratulations text?
Yeah, we said, what's up? Loan me a
million. Yeah, I did a post about it on TikTok.
He has 100 million. 100 millions. For people to come.
I'll show you the post. I haven't posted it yet, but it's for TikTok. Hold on.
I actually did a funny TikTok yesterday. Well, I thought it was funny.
I think I liked it. Hold on. Can you guys see it?
Guys, can you see that? That's a fucking $1 billion. I think so.
That's a lot of zeros.
Yes. That's $1 billion. You see those zeros?
Watch this. Here's the video I did. Here's the deal. Watch this. Watch this.
So I wake up and I start, you know, going through media, starting to figure out what's going on and find out that LeBron James is a billionaire. And my immediate reaction was like, I just really wish the guy could catch a break. You know, it's just, look, it didn't start off great, but like at some point in time, like, dude, like, I get you had a rough childhood, but you've had like 25 straight years of success. Like, I get it. You've made up for it, but I wonder if he'll still hang out with us.
Hashtag kid from Akron.
Hashtag kid from Akron.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you got to be like, all right, man, I'm from Akron. Y'all heard this before, but.
Yeah, I can't wait for the post. No, he won't. I don't know if he'll do a post. He might do a post about being a billionaire because it is cool. It's an achievement. He'll make it like most people don't like. Like Elon Musk is not like posting like, hey, I just became the richest man in the world. He'll just like buy Twitter and make people talk about it.
He's like, oh, y'all like free speech? Bought it. Oxygen. Yeah, yeah. I just bought it. Yeah. Come on.
Bought it.
I liked Bron's post the other day when he was in when they were in Europe and there was the boat that came by and it had the lion on it and he was like, I mean, it's just getting pretty funny at this point. And I'm just like,
man, listen,
living the life.
By 50
living
boats.
The life. All right, so that's what Channing would do with his $1 billion. Be fed grapes off of a gold spoon.
What would I do with $1 billion? I don't know. I'd buy a couple more homes. Definitely. I don't care. I'll go materialistic. I'd buy homes in ski places. I'd buy an off-the-grid cabin. But, like, I would buy places cool enough where I could have, like, garages to store, like, the type of cars that you want there. Like, I would want, like, my Raptor in the mountains. I would want, like, some, like, I would just buy shit, right? And then I would give away a ton of it. Like, I'm big on giving away money. I would love to give away money. Like, I would love to just, like start, like, inner city programs. Like, random stuff like that. I just, like, for instance, I just think that so many kids could play baseball, and I remember like how expensive it was and why I couldn't play it, and I see how expensive that shit is now. I would love to go start like just leagues in like inner cities and just fund them. Like just random shit. Those are the things I think about.
Channing's like, what the fuck? What? What?
That's
what
I would do.
Fuck? What did you ask me? I know, but Richard, you're like, oh, I just made $1 billion.
Yeah.
You know what? I've always wanted to play baseball. Here, let me take $50 million.
I'm saying no.
Baseball field? Was this fucking Sandlot?
Yeah, I would. I 100% would. Like, this is the thing. Motherfucker, I've been a millionaire since I was fucking 20. Like, the idea of having a ton of money ain't fucking new. What we said? God. So is he. Like, I'm not the only one.
22.
That's what I'm saying. 22. Like, I'm not. I don't think it's just because the NBA is not because
a billion is a lot different than a million.
Well, I agreed a billion is a different, but I'm saying it's like, bro, like Channing, if someone gave you $10 million right now, your house ain't changing. Your car ain't changing. Ain't nothing changing about your life. $1 billion.
I'm getting an F12 Ferrari. I know that. I've always wanted one of those.
I'm still over here held up thinking that when you said that you wanted a garage. I thought you were going to say to hide all the dead bodies.
No. Oh, God. Dead bodies? Why are they dead bodies? No.
Well, listen.
You never know.
No, I just want a garage. I want a garage to keep all
How many
cool
cows would you buy if you had $1 billion?
I would have a cow farm. I would have a hog farm. Ooh, I would have a sheep farm.
Look at that.
I'm telling you will never see me again if I have $1 billion. But the one thing you should know is that I will be doing something good with my money. Great with my money forever.
We won't know that because you'll be Batman.
Tell us. I'm doing random shit. I'm going on yachts.
You think I'm going to walk myself into that conversation where Channing just lost his mind when you were very heartfelt about helping the inner city with your baseball diamonds?
I don't give a shit if Mr. Shiny Forehead over here is complaining.
About time these roids kick in.
Let's take a quick time out because we have a few great products that we want to share with you this week.
Listen up, road trippers. You still dreaming about that trip to the NBA playoffs this year? Well, what if I told you NerdWallet can help you take the first steps to make that dream a reality? NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more so you can easily compare and find what's right for you. And since you're already planning on going to the finals, let's bring a friend along. NerdWallet can help you find a travel rewards card with a sign-up bonus to use on a hotel for your whole crew. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first step by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NMLS 161739.
Guys, let's talk about the NBA Finals, which has me here. I'm going to get this thing started with a little something we like to call Prize Picks. All right, road trippers, have you ever heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Our entire crew loves it, and we know that you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA prop game across the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS operator, and they offer every player and stat category that you can think of. Want to get in the game now? There's no better time with the NBA Finals underway. All new users, check this out, that make their first deposit and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN will receive an instant 100% deposit match up to $100. Follow us here as we take you through us making the official Road Trippin' Prize Picks for game one of the finals. Channing, you were weighing in on this. Look at how simple this is. You log in, click on the NBA tab, and here are all of the players. Here are all the players and options for game one of the finals. There's points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals, three-pointers made, turnovers, free throws made, and much more, as you can obviously see right here. We're taking Jason Tatum under 26.5 points for this one, right, Channing? Yeah. Also, Tatum's over on rebounds, currently set at 7. And lastly, we're banking on Klay Thompson to hit over 3 threes. Game one.
Well, the best thing
You got it. Best thing about Klay what?
No, I'm saying best thing about Klay is going to keep shooting.
So click on your over under options for each selection and now enter the amount you want to wager. Finally, click place entry right underneath. That's it. You're in the game. I freaking love both of you. Remember, with Prize Picks, you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks even allows mixed sports entries, in case you didn't know. Use the award-winning Prize Picks app, either on the App Store or Google Play today. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Like we just showed you, it is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Make this year's finals a little more exciting and enjoy a special bonus offer on us. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN or go to your app store. Download the app today. Remember, road trippers, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What did we miss and what did we see, Channing, when it came to Klay? Did we hear what?
The last game, like, he had an amazing closeout game, and then he was like, you were 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10. He was like, well, I should have made 10. I missed a bunch. And, like, they just close out a game, and he's still in his mind being like, yeah, I left a lot on the board, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's the problem is that, like, and I was thinking before we got on a podcast, like, Boston has played a beat-up Miami, right? And Miami's an amazing team. But they had one real killer. One. You're playing a team with three real killers that do amazing things and guys that have experience. Right, the only guy that really doesn't have experience is Jordan Poole, and he got the ultimate green light. So, like, you know, it's hard. It is hard to go from playing Milwaukee or the Nets or Miami to playing a team that is so unique. You have to watch so much film on them and prepare for them so much because every cut they make is like they've done it so many times. If you don't stay on the body, if you don't get physical, if you don't make them connect, if you let somebody cut in front of your face, that's an automatic score. So like you could say every mistake you make, that's 3 points on the board. Just every time you make a mistake, that's 3 points. Even if it's 2-1 time, it's going to be 6 the next time.
But and so and that's look, what I'm saying. And I'm not questioning like either of these teams, but Golden State, they haven't been the most battle tested, right? And very similar to us coming out in 16, like we weren't that battle tested in the Eastern Conference. But think about Golden State went against a solo superstar in Jokic. You can say, oh, they beat the MVP. Like his team was not what they should have been. Then the next round, they go against Memphis with a solo superstar, and Ja is out early. He doesn't even play in the last few games, right? And then because Phoenix gets upset by Dallas, and Luka's a bad man, but they're going against a solo superstar in Luka, right? So like it's one of those things. Now they're going to go against Boston that has a lot of guys that know their role. Right, that know their role and are pushing those roles. And it's like they were the, you know, second best team since first of the year, best defense, all these things. And, you know, they've been fighting for their lives for a month and a half. 7 games against Giannis and those bad boys. Then going 7 games against Miami. They've literally been fighting for their lives for almost a month.
So Miami, that's just solo star. Milwaukee, solo star.
Agreed. Right. But I'm just saying, though, 7-game series, they're more tried. So they're going to out. They've been in more aggressive situations where Golden State just kind of was – it was very difficult to get to the finals. Players of their caliber, I felt like they were cruising.
Okay, so I actually tell people this all the time. It is literally a whole nother season is what it feels like when it comes to the finals. Completely different than the playoffs, right, et cetera. So how much do you think that that will factor into this matchup when you look at 123 games played by Warriors players in the finals to 0 for the Celtics?
A lot.
You guys know how different.
A lot. Pace of game, Richard. Understanding what they do. Realizing like the ups and downs of each game. Your player, your vets, really, you only have to worry about, not worry, but like you got to talk to Wiggins and Poole, realistically. Everyone else understands what they're supposed to do. Game one, you may get 6 shots. If you keep doing it, Boston has to adjust. You may get 20 the next game. Then you may get 8. And then it evens itself out. But they've been there. They're like, we've won, we've lost, we've won easily, we've lost hard. Like, they've done it all, you know?
Yeah, I think experience will show up. I just make, like, for me, it's because Boston has been in so many conference finals. Like Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, what have they played in 3 or 4 of the last 5 or something? 3-3? And it's like, that's a lot of playoff basketball also. You were 1 round short of the finals. So, and these are guys that believe they should be there, that were up 3-2 and didn't finish it. So like, yes, the finals is a different monster, but these guys are used to deep, deep playoff runs, right? Like they were only, you know, they were 1 game away, 2 games away, multiple times of playing 1 more extra round. So yes, while the finals experience is different and Golden State has the like tremendous advantage, I just don't want people to look at Boston like because they haven't been in the finals, that is not like an extreme postseason. Like how many postseason games has that group play? Al Horford, how many games? Like finals is different, but like you can't just count on like, you know, the Warriors were a veteran group and they've made mistakes in the finals before.
Ellie, I got a question for you.
No, you got it.
I got a question for you and Richard, right? So in most of these series, you can kind of tell, like, Golden State just plays their offense, right? And then it's whoever's up. Like, I think last series, you saw them go at Luka a lot, especially later in the series when he started to get tired. But, like, Boston picks on certain players to go at consistently, right? Certain matchups. If you're Boston, who do you go at on Golden State? Now, and I'll say this, The first option would be Looney, because you go, okay,
Steph,
well.
Steph would be the first option.
I was going to say Steph.
But Steph has shown that he can do this consistently. Like, Luka's gone at him. Memphis went at him. Everybody has gone at him, and he's been like, okay, I just show and get back. I've seen this 1,000 times.
Yeah, but you still, that's still the best. That's the best. You don't want to, you want to, who, that's still your best. I think Jordan Poole, I think Jordan Poole, they're, you know, they're going to try, but, you know. Yeah, when he gets in. But I don't know. What were you about to say, Alex?
I'm curious to see how the officials will call the game, because I think you have two very contrasting styles in terms of physicality, right? And so if they allow Boston to be Boston, I think that it will be a problem. But kind of what you were saying earlier, a couple episodes ago, Channing, I think there's more emphasis on the Jordan Pools, the Kevon Looneys, in terms of what are they going to – they're the X Factors. Because I think to a certain degree, whether you're going to pick
Wiggins,
on Steph.
Wiggins.
Yes. I think that's what – it's not going to come down to Steph. They're going to be themselves. I'm not saying anything we don't technically already know. I still think that there will be moments where they will show that they are still the greater. They've got the experience. Sure. They are the superstars of the matchup.
Yeah. I think the biggest person not in the big four, you know, Tatum, Brown, Clay, or five, Clay, Steph, and Draymond – is Al Horford. Al Horford does so much for Boston as that big dribble handoffs. He can take advantage of switches. So if he gets attacked defensively, and can't, that's hard. As a big man, it's easy to play dribble handoffs, right, when they're not flying around. But if Boston can't be physical, right, and make them go where they need to go, and now Al Horford has to guard Clay going downhill, Steph going downhill. That's a lot on him. And
Grant Williams, that's where he becomes important.
Yeah.
Grant Williams to me on the Boston side, and then his Wiggins on the other side. Yeah. If Grant Williams can play, to me, he becomes kind of like a Tristan Thompson, where he becomes a big that you can have on the floor but can guard perimeters. Now, obviously, Grant's far more of an offensive threat, but like Tristan was a big roll threat. Like if you weren't there, Tristan would roll and get the lob from whatever. Grant Williams allows him, because he's been guarding Giannis, he's been guarding Biggs, he's been guarding Bam. So now if you put him in there, he can guard Looney, and now Looney's got to go out there and guard him on the three. He can guard Draymond, and then, you know what I'm saying? So it's like Boston has the ability to play small. You can go with Grant, you can go with White, you can go with Tatum, you can go with Brown, and you can go with Smart. That's a pretty good matchup versus the Warriors, and they're a better defensive team. They don't have as much offensive explosion like the Steph, Clay, Jordan Poole, because those guys will just come up and shoot threes every single possession, right? They don't have the same offensive power, but they're far better defensively than what the Golden State Warriors are going to come in with. So Grant Williams, to me, is the one guy that I look at. He can guard if the Warriors decide to play like his loon, you know, play Kevon or whatever. So I just think he's the most important. And then Wiggins. If Wiggins can give you 18 to 20 five out of the seven games, but he's shooting that amount. Like
15 to 20 is.
Let me ask you guys this question.
18 to 20 to win.
When it comes to, like, obviously the main headlines and storylines to this of how high-powered Golden State's offense is comparative to that of Boston, right? But how great Boston is defensively. How would you compare, first of all, Golden State's team this year to 2016 team?
This is the worst Golden State team to be in the finals.
Yeah. Which is crazy to say. This Golden State team is the worst Golden State team to make the finals, but the best team for their future, right? Kuminga, Poole. We're not even talking about big fella, Wiseman. Even though he's not playing, he's still getting this mental experience. He's understanding how long a season is, right? So, like, all their young guys and their culture.
The fact that he hasn't played basketball is still mind-blowing. Like, he's
mind-blowing. If he played, it would have not even been close. If he was anything like they say he is, or we've seen glimpses of, it's a whole different story.
Like, do you think that Boston has to play at their elite level defensively and yet still be able to match? Because I'm looking back at, like, the series for you guys. This is my whole point in 2016. Like, there were games where you guys got blown out, right? And then there were games where actually took historic performances from both Bron and Kyrie, game five. Then you'll look at what game seven was, 90-80, like the low scoring affair, right? So is Boston still going to have to produce at a high level offensively along with their, because when it comes to that, I say Warriors in six. Warriors in five.
I'll say
But the Warriors always, like, they Warriors, like, come on. This is my thing about the Warriors. They like to fuck around sometimes. They're the ultimate fuck around and find out. Like, they're the ultimate team because they fuck around and they find out that they can't do that. It's like when Ja went out in that first game, like, they didn't lead till a final minute of that game three. They didn't lead until the final minute. Then the next game, they get blown out by 50. They get blown out by 50 points. Maybe it wasn't 50, 40. They get blown out in Memphis. No Ja Morant. Then they go, and barely they win in the last 3 minutes. Game six, Clay, he goes for 30. Steph didn't play well. Steph was like 5 for 17 or so, I don't know, whatever. But he didn't play well. But, you know, Clay showed up. But they still didn't win that game until late in the fourth quarter. It was close in the third, close at half. They win it late. So my thing is this. Boston is far better than that Memphis team. Boston is far better. And if that Memphis team could eke out a couple of wins, could eke out two, I believe that this Boston team, if they do what they're supposed to do, can take them to seven.
But if the Warriors are supposed to do what they're supposed to do, I asked all of that to basically get you to tell me that they're still the best team, hands down, top to bottom, if they play consistently like they're supposed to.
If both teams play great, the Warriors win.
Right. Which sucks. If Boston has to play Boston, the biggest part of Boston's defense, they have to take great shots. Right? They have to get as close to the rim. Why do you think the games that we won, for the most part, were lower scoring games? You're not going to out 3 points shoot them. Mm-hmm. You got to get a 2-pointer and get your defense set and give yourself a chance to not make mistakes. You have to put pressure on them because Draymond's a very good verticality guy, but putting pressure on them, if you notice, Draymond has had a lot of foul trouble when teams just constantly attack. You cannot settle for these long threes. They have 4 out of 5, maybe 5 out of 5 guys that can come down, and then they're running around like damn go-karts on crack. Yeah. Pew, pew, pew. Mistake, three-pointer, layup. And then now they're up 6. You're like, fuck.
Well, and this is the other thing, is that people aren't giving enough credit to – part of the reason why they struggle so much when Draymond gets out is because there used to be three hybrid versions of Draymond. There used to be Andre Iguodala up there handling the ball, letting Steph Clay run around, and Andre would handle it, right? And then they would also have Livingston up there running the point guard as a 6'7" wing. And
Andrew
Bogut
was
guys,
nasty.
And Andrew Bogut. So now when Draymond gets out, like, they still run the offense, but they don't have that Andre up top. They don't have that Livingston up top. So when Draymond gets in foul trouble or Draymond's not, you know, whatever, then their team, all right, Draymond's on the bench, their team kind of like, because they don't have the same offensive flow. Like, yes, they can still score. Yes, they're ridiculous. But when I'm just telling you, and don't hit me with the analytics, people, I'm telling you, they are easier to guard when Draymond's on the floor. Or when Draymond's off the floor. They're harder to guard when Iggy was up there, when Livingston was up there, because those guys were like point forwards, just like Draymond. So those guys don't there. And so it's like there's nobody else that's out there creating. Andre didn't care about scoring. Livingston didn't care about scoring. They were only out there to facilitate the game and make sure that they could get their shit through the flow.
Speaking of analytics, I hate analytics so much, but the second Jimmy Butler took that shot, I was like, I need the analytics. I need to see the analytics on this shot and why he took it.
You know what? And I've been looking around, and he could say, I know his team's going to have his back, right? I don't agree with that.
You and Allie agree.
I struggled with it for a second.
I was saying, Jimmy, you're having a great game. That is, yes, you've hit one. You know, I'm a shooter. I'm a legit shooter.
He was 1 for 2, bro.
And you have 18 seconds left in the game. You're down 2 at home.
Richard, I actually disagree with the shot. I agree with the decision. I agree with the move, but it's not a great shot. That is any basketball player will will tell you that the pull up leaning forward a three-pointer by a non-three-point shooter is not a great shot. Right? Like, that's common sense.
I'm just saying this. There is, in that moment, not even saying with the 11 seconds, if it was 7 seconds, if it was 3 seconds. 18, whatever. Fuck, dude. What I'm saying is that there's nobody that I would rather have shooting that shot in that moment. One. And two, I don't know if they would have gotten back, called. They only had one timeout, so you weren't going to burn a timeout. If you were going to run an offense, run a pick and roll, whatever you were going to do, the chances of you getting a look that good was extremely small. If you would have, like, came down and ran a pick and roll, or, like, cleared out and ISO'd and tried to go one-on-one, whatever. He's the person I want shooting it, and I thought that was probably the best look that they were going to get given the opportunity.
I don't agree with that. He had no rebounders down there.
True.
He's not a natural three-point shooter.
True.
He already had played 47 out of the 48 minutes.
Short.
Gassed. Short. Number two, he had Al Horford on him. I would rather him, which he was on his side, to when Al Horford, he could have hesied and at least went to the rim as his defense get back to get the two. Right? Then you play defense. Give your team a chance to rely on their defense. You go for the win and you miss. Now your team is shooting. Now they shoot two free throws. You're down four. That's a two possession game with one timeout. You get the layup. Then you set your defense. You get the layup. Boston calls a timeout. You get extra breaks, right? You get your chance, the opportunity to offensive rebound. You get a stop on defense, or let's say you go into overtime. You're giving your team more chance to win. You, to me, yes, I would rather have no one else shoot that shot. Absolutely. Jimmy deserved to shoot that shot. I would have rather seen Jimmy shoot the shot that he is, right?
Well, what
you're
shot
down
was that?
Two.
What was it? Well, I understand you were down two. He was going for hero ball. Remember when you were already talking about gassed? Do you think Jimmy I'm not saying this. Subconsciously, do you think a part of him was like, we're not going to win this shit in overtime. Like, we're struggling to score points as it is. This is my shot. Let's fucking take the lead and go home. You know what I'm saying? Probably. You're thinking kill
but
shot.
But that's
you're
where
thinking,
I got I'm upset not, by that narrative.
Right.
Because we talked about this. That's like the one time where I feel like Jimmy Butler would have been like, nah, I'm a dog. I can give you five more. Like, and
no,
we talked about the
no,
adrenaline
like, I'm
in that
a dog.
Moment.
He goes, I'm a dog. I can knock down his shot. He had a dog. You were just not sure.
Yeah.
You were wondering what dog there was.
Yeah.
The dog
yeah.
is like, I can knock down this motherfucking shot because I'm a bad
True.
Man. The ball's in yeah. my hand right now. I'm on the corner where I can knock down a three. The guy is retreating. I am Jimmy Butler. And
can I be honest?
Yes,
let's
please.
Be real. There's five guys I can name off the top of my head.
Yeah.
That I would say that shot every single game, whether that's game 7, game 1, or game 52 of the regular season.
Name them.
That I would want them. What?
Name them.
Kyrie. KD. I'm going to say Paul George, Damian Lillard, and LeBron James.
Okay. I'm going to change my list. I'm going to say KD, Luka, Steph.
Oh, forgot about Luka.
Dame.
Forgot about Steph.
KD, Luka.
I would take off PG and put off Steph. No disrespect to Steph. My fault.
Yeah, I'm like,
I don't know how I
forgot. Yeah, no. I'd like PG.
First of all, it's you can have differing lists because guess what? It's not just the five guys, but those are the ones that you think of off the top. Yeah, there's more.
Yeah, but like if they took that shot, I'm like, we living with that. When Jimmy shot it, half the country was like, no.
I didn't say KD. Did I say KD, Kyrie, Steph, Luka?
Paul George.
And Dame. He said Paul George.
I said Dame.
If Dame's bringing that bad boy up, boy. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
You better guard that motherfucker at half court.
That motherfucker, that shit get in the air. I'm sorry, everybody watching. Because he's got to, like, you know what's weird? When he shoots it, I feel like Steph has a quicker ball, but I feel like his has more arc. Because I feel like you just end up watching Dame's shot like this. Like,
You'd be like, yeah. Oh, hell no, that ain't. Damn.
Back of the rim.
That boy turned into Sub-Zero.
That shit hit the. That go like that. And it's like.
Yeah. This should be torching the net.
Sorry. Thank you for that conversation based off of analytics. Back to this matchup. I have a couple other questions for you guys. Is there an individual matchup that you guys are really excited to watch? That you're looking forward to?
Steve Kerr versus.
God, I hate you, bro.
Really?
No, because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, dude, I'm really excited to see, like, because the players are the players. I don't think that there's any, like, key matchups because Marcus Smart's going to be, like, chasing everybody around. So it's not Marcus versus Steph or any of that stuff. And the way everyone
switches. They switch everything, guys.
That's what I'm saying. So watching Ime versus Steve, that's going to be fun.
People were like, oh, Ime's so good for a first-year coach. I'm like, bitch, Ime was 10 years in San Antonio, 3 years in Brooklyn, 2 years in Philly. He was somewhere after that, and then now he has his own team. Ime is in there like, fuck it. And he's with Damon Stoddard. He's with his guys that, like, support his style. And if you ever watch Ime, for a first-year guy, he reminds me a lot of T. Lou. Of like, I'm here. I'm just going to do it my way because that makes me comfortable. You never really see Ime angry like that. When dudes mess up, he'd be like, hey, motherfucker, what's up?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Go sit down and come on back when you're ready. Yeah.
Oh, next. You can see the directness in his eyes. Like, what the fuck is you doing?
He's like, bitch, what's up?
Why the fuck are you there? And then you start to see the look. Do you explain? He's like, I don't care. I don't care. And then, like, the player will walk off, and they keep it on the coach, and, like, Ime will walk by. Like, you know what I'm saying?
There?
Like, he may be on them, man, in a good way, like in a respectful, like, this is what you want. You want to win, right? Then fucking do what I tell you, like, type shit.
Was there something to Ty's approach during that series in the chair for the first time, right? That you could, like, say if Ime does this against Steve Kerr? Like, was there, or is it because when you're literally comparing them to one another, it's the first time, right? So it's not like Ty had all of these moments and opportunities.
Ime has to have unwavering confidence in the discipline of his game plan. Right? So to say we lost because we made mistakes, we can work on not making these mistakes. Right? Mm-hmm. So for us, when we got blown out, it was shit. It's 20. We ain't coming back from 20. You guys sit. Richard, you might need to play. Go play these minutes. Channing, you may need to play. Probably not, but go get this. Go get a cardio in, right? Deli, go get this in. So when we lost, it was coach took the main guys out, let their brain not even disassociate from the game. But then when we watched film, it was like mistake on the first play of the game, mistake on the third play of the game, mistake 10th play. Now we're down 8. Don't make these mistakes, and it's a tie game. If they make tough shots, it's fucking Clay and Steph. They're top 5 shooters of all time. Like, stop it. They're gonna make tough shots. You making bonehead mistakes, either because you're tired or you think this possession doesn't matter, is different. He needs to be like, guys, this is what we're gonna do. Do it, and if we get fucked up, we can come back to the chalkboard. But we need to do this as hard as we can this game.
At some point in time, every team's back is against the wall. Every team's back is against the wall. Now I know ours was whatever what it was, but like there wasn't
special,
a bunch of
unique,
rah.
One of
I know, but there wasn't a bunch of rah rah. We can do this. Blah blah. Blah.
No,
never. No, but there was like how to motivate your guys, and I know Ime's already done that because they've won 2 game 7s, right? What I'm saying is that, like, and I think Boston, a lot of, I think the money is almost even money, right? Boston can win this, but a lot of it has to do with, like, what are you going to do when your team's back is against the wall? Being back and against the wall on your way to the finals versus being in the finals is different, right? It's very different. And so that's just the part that, like, I'm curious to see, like, when his team gets their backs against the wall, which they've answered every single time so far this postseason, as Channing's breaking shit, that I want to see
how my dog sneezing.
God, that was you kicking your dog, bro.
No, that's him sneezing.
With that said, take a shot. Is this Andre Iguodala's last year?
I hope so, crusty butt.
Better be. It better be. I told him.
He says he's going to retire every year, but Andre.
No, he's struggling. He's struggling. I was texting him earlier, and he was just like, "Bro, I'm." I was like, "Bro, I've been there, year 15, trying to chase these children around in the NBA Finals." I'm like, "Yo, dog, I've been there."
I heard his neck is pretty banged up too, like injuries.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
What it is. That's what it is. It's his neck. It's his neck. It's like his neck. So he's having to turn like this type of stuff, and he just can't get it.
Too much golf.
I don't know what it is.
Did you watch the match?
No. I did watch
the
PGA.
What is wrong with you guys?
But you'll watch the match,
but you won't watch Interstellar? Come on.
I don't even know what Interstellar is. It sounds like a freaking constellation.
Top 10 greatest movie of all time.
Okay.
Do you like Matthew McConaughey?
Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Josh, like, that's not intriguing to you guys? That doesn't sound like fun?
Would you watch me, Richard, Braun, and Kevin play bowling?
100% Sign me up. Yes.
Okay. Would you watch us play pickleball?
Yes.
Nice. I love pickleball.
Oh, nice.
I redid
my court. Dude, in my neighborhood, we're getting a bunch of people to start a little league.
You should, dude. It's so much
Rose
fun.
Pickleball League. Sponsored by ChosenFamilyWines.com.
We are the epitome of ADHD right now. All right. Finals prediction. We're going to wrap this up.
Boston 9.
Channing literally was like, "Oh, that's intriguing."
I was like, 4+5. Oh no. You know I got a math disability. This is a hot take. I got Golden State in 5.
All right. And
someone said that yesterday on the Lake Show podcast. So that is not a hot take. People actually believe that. Warriors.
I think
in 6.
So.
What about that Memphis series told you that they're going to beat Boston in 5?
Well, they're going to give up a game. You could just automate. They're going to give you a game. I think when they go back home, they're like, shit, we're one game away from winning. 2 games. Okay, let's turn it back on. Come on now.
They haven't been beaten.
They win.
In San Francisco. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, so they win the first two. Boston wins game 3.
Boston
Golden State
win
wins 4.
What's the bet?
Right. They're going to win. No, they're not. Bet me.
What's
bet
the
me
bet?
Something.
Bet. Bet. Hmm? Bet.
Six at bottles. Do you like rosé, Richard?
At some point in time, Richard faded on this podcast. I'm not sure why or how, but he faded. We've just lost your attention.
No, you didn't fade my attention. No, people in like, whatever. I'm on location for work. I'm in San Francisco. So we're about to film NBA Today. But like one of the things that like our producers like to do when we're on location, like, hey, we would like to pre-tape or we would like to do this skit. And it's like, yo, bro, I'm not on call, dog. Like, the show starts at 12. Like, I'll be there at 11:15. We do all this stuff. Not like, hey, can you get here at 9:30? We want to do a skit with a pie in your face. And it's like, no, I don't want to do that. So, like, no, I don't do that. And then I sit down and start doing a podcast for an hour, and I get a text saying, hey, the car's downstairs. I was like, no.
Before we let you go then. Have you guys seen Top Gun?
Not yet. Don't say a word. I'm going to see it this weekend.
Don't say it. Everyone says it's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Allie?
America.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Have you not seen that movie either?
No, I haven't seen it.
However, you know what I am going to go see?
What?
Of the movies that are coming out, what do you think that Allie
Jurassic
will go
Park.
See?
Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
If I could, I had $1 billion, I would own a dinosaur.
Bye.
Which kind of dinosaur?
Are we done? The big
which one?
The big fucker, T Rex. The big
the T Rex.
A brontosaurus is the biggest.
That's what its name is.
No, the Indominus Rex. The Indominus Rex.
Is that why you named your child Dominus?
No, but I thought it was really cool that my favorite movie also has my kid's name in it now.
Okay, you guys are both.
I named him Dominus in 15, and then in like 2017, the movie came out, and like, where is the Indominus Rex? It's like, Lil Rich, you're in the movie. I named you after that dinosaur.
Did you whisper that in his ear?
Yeah.
As he goes to sleep?
I was like, as he goes to sleep, you see those dinosaurs? If you get out of bed again, they're going to come get you.
You are awful. You are awful. That is another edition of Road Tripping.
Yeah,
he was like,
hey,
yeah,
son, have
I
you
am.
Ever seen them? Do you like Pennywise? You want to see Pennywise?
No, Allie,
Richard.
Seriously, write this down, Allie. What? Write this down.
Writing
Interstellar. Team America, World Police.
Movies to
Eyes Wide Shut.
Bye. Bye.
All right, road trippers, have you ever heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Our entire crew loves it, and we know that you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA prop game across the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS operator, and they offer every player and stat category that you can think of. Want to get in the game now? There's no better time with the NBA Finals underway. All new users, check this out, that make their first deposit and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN will receive an instant 100% deposit match up to $100. Remember, with Prize Picks, you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks even allows mixed sports entries, in case you didn't know. Use the award-winning Prize Picks app, either on the App Store or Google Play today. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Make this year's finals a little more exciting and enjoy a special bonus offer on us. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN or go to your App Store. Download the app today. Remember, Road Trippers, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.